Well, it's good to be here tonight. Good to be with you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Bible study this evening. And I know that many of you are aware that Brother Weaver Mills is currently working on a program that we have that is being sponsored by the Truth for Today people out of Arkansas with Eddie Clower and others. And they have put together a website, throughthescriptures.com. Is that right? Or is it .org? Throughthescriptures.com. And that is an opportunity for you to study the Bible. And last month we talked a little bit about Bible study. And I'd like to talk about Bible study this month as well a little bit. And tonight specifically, I would like for us to think about Bible study as worship. Bible study as worship. And we, of course, get together every Sunday to study God's Word, to observe the Lord's Supper, to give, to sing, to pray, and to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we do these things as part of our worship together. We come together in order to worship God. But then there are some of these things that we can do to worship God at home. We can sing at any time praises to God and be worshiping God. We can pray to God at any time and be worshiping God. And we can study God's Word at any time and be worshiping God as we do that as well. And so some of these aspects of worship that we've discussed in the past are applicable to our daily life. And we need to be in God's Word, and we need to be praying to God, and we need to praise God as we have opportunity to do that. And so tonight I would like for us to look at Bible study as worship. And if you would, please turn to Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm number 1, and verses 1 through 3. And let's read together what the psalmist has to say here at the beginning of the Psalms. He says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper." Now that's a wonderful thought. Blessed is the man. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But what does he do? He delights in the law of the Lord. That is, he studies God's Word. He meditates upon it day and night. He is thinking about it constantly as he goes through his life and as he lives his life. And as a consequence of doing this, as a consequence of avoiding evil and focusing upon that which is right, he's going to be like a tree. Now, not just any tree, but a tree that is specifically planted by the side of a river. Now, I don't know how much you are familiar with the study of trees and that kind of thing. But if you plant a tree by the side of a river, it's going to get good nourishment all of its life because it's always going to have access to a water source. You know, some trees that are planted just out in the open, they may germinate and sprout and come forth and live for a while. But then if they don't have access to good water, they can very well die off from lack of water. But here is a tree that is specifically planted by a river. And that's what the person who studies God's Word is like. He has an intentional life. He is doing something intentionally, like this tree is intentionally planted by the river. And in living this intentional life, he's going to be able to draw upon God's Word as he needs to draw upon it and flourish and bring forth fruit in his season, as the psalmist says here. And so the psalm gives us a wonderful picture of meditating upon and studying God's Word. When we think about worshiping God, We're thinking about bending the knee toward God, prostrating ourselves to Him, reverencing ourselves before God. And what better way to do that than to open the Word of God and let God speak to us? Because this, being the very Word of God, when we study it and read it and learn it, God is speaking to us and He's helping us to understand some things as we study His will. And so tonight, let's think about Bible study as worship. Now, when we think about Bible study as worship, we're going to note four things. That first of all, we are worshiping God because we are reciting God's will. And we're going to talk about that. But then secondly, when we study the Bible, we are worshiping God because we are respecting and honoring God's Word. Third, we worship God when we study the Bible because we are retaining God in our thoughts and in our hearts. And then finally, we worship God when we study His Word because we are retooling our life in God's image. So let's think about worshiping God by studying His Word this evening. First of all, we worship God when we study His Word because we are reciting God's will for our life. Now, just reading the Word of God, just reading the Bible, does not necessarily constitute worship. The student must have the right attitude toward God as he is reading the Bible. I suppose an atheist could get up and read the Bible, you know, if he's literate. And he could stand there and read what the words of the Bible say. But I don't believe that he is worshiping God when he does that. Because it takes more to worship God than just read the Bible. One has to read with the right attitude. And the student must be in a right relationship with God. We, when we read the Bible, must comprehend what the Bible is saying and intend to apply it to our life on a daily basis. When we read the Bible to worship God, we must recognize that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. That it is authoritative. As Jesus said, His words were authoritative in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And that the Word of God is all sufficient and that provides everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. So to worship God by reading the Bible, we need to understand what the Bible is. And in worshiping God by reading the Bible, we must be in a right relationship with God. The one who is separated from God is not going to be able to worship God simply by reading His Word because he is not in a right relationship with God. And God wants those who are in a right relationship with Him to worship Him, according to John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. So we don't want to be separated from God. We want to be in fellowship with God. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Yes, the one who is going to worship God by reading the Word of God today needs to be a Christian and needs to worship in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24. And having these things in mind, then, when we sit down to study the Bible with this worshipful attitude, as God's people, being in fellowship with God, thinking about the Bible being inspired, authoritative, and all sufficient, then we are truly hearing the words of God as the Bible speaks to us. And by simply reading God's Word, then we can worship God with the right attitude. You see, because when we worship God by reading His Word, by reciting His will, we are letting God speak to us. We are letting God take control of our life for that moment. We are putting our own desires and our own thoughts aside for the time being. And we are simply absorbing what God wants us to learn. You see, by letting God speak, we do, in fact, give Him control of our life. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 6, Jeremiah writes, O house of Israel, And this is God speaking through Jeremiah. He says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And God does with us what he wills. And as we listen to the word of God, and as we meditate upon it, as the psalmist said, we should meditate upon it. Then God can shape us and mold us into how he wants us to be. By letting God speak, we lose self. In John chapter 12 and verse 25, Jesus says, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. What was Jesus talking about there? The pursuit of selfish carnal desires. Those who love their life to pursue those selfish carnal desires, they're going to lose it. But if we lose our life, that is, we abandon it for God, then not only do we get the abundant life, John chapter 10 and verse 10, but we also get eternal life. And so we need to lose ourselves as we seek God and study His Word and let it speak to us. By letting God speak, we remove thoughts of evil from our mind. And while we're focused upon the Word of God, and while that Word is sinking into us, then those thoughts of evil are being pushed far away. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. So by letting God speak and reciting the words of God, reciting God's will, by reading and studying the Bible, we focus on Him and doing what He wants us to do in our lives. But secondly, when we read and study the Bible and worship to God, we are respecting and honoring God's words. Studying is seeking to comprehend. And by studying the Bible, we are seeking to comprehend God in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a book about God. Sometimes we come to the Bible and we read about, you know, the failures of man, and we read some stories about the men of the Old Testament, you know, and sometimes we'll have a biographical sermon. Sometimes I'll preach these biographical sermons about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and others from whom we can learn some good lessons. But really, when we study the Bible is the story of God. It's the story of God's coming to earth and working through men on the earth to bring about the greatest work that God could do, and through Jesus to provide for our salvation. And so when we read the Bible, we're reading the story of God, and we should be learning about God and who He is. And so as we read the Word of God, we do so to respect and honor God's Word. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 12 and 13. Moses is writing here, and he says this, Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So they were to come together, and then they were to hear the word of God, to learn it, so that they could fear God, to have a healthy respect for God. Yes, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 15. You see, when we study God's word in worshiping God, we are respecting and honoring God's words by seeking to understand God and by seeking to understand His will. You know, it wasn't God's intention that we should just read His word, and that's why we have preaching, and that's why we have teaching. God really wants us to preach and teach and to say things other than what are in the Bible itself. And what I mean by that is what I'm doing right now. Not that reading the Bible would be wrong, but when we come together to study God's word, we don't just read the Bible, you know. We talk about the Bible. We reason about the Bible. And God wants us to do that. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. So they read. You see, they read, first of all. And they gave the sense. Now that's the second thing they did. They gave the sense. In other words, they explained what the Word of God meant and caused them to understand the reading. Okay? So when we study God's Word, we're trying to understand the words themselves, but then we're also trying to get the sense. We're also trying to understand what it all means and how it all applies to us. In Psalm 119 and verse 104, we read, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." So there's a certain amount of understanding that we glean when we study God's Word. In Ephesians 3 and verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And so by studying and reading the Word of God, we can really understand what they understood and do the same things that they did. And so study is seeking to comprehend. Studying also involves seeking to make application to our lives. We study to understand, and then we understand to apply. Applying means to go forth and to do the things that we understand. To practice those things that we've learned. So one needs to do God's will if one wants to study the Bible. It's about studying God's Word so as to put it into practice into our life. What we're doing here isn't just, you know, academic. We're not just studying this some kind of particle physics or something that has no practical application, you know. We're studying things that really make a difference in the lives of people. And that's why Bible study is so important. In James chapter 1 and verses 21 through 25, we read these words: "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So studying God's word, there's some ability in that word to save us, and we want it to save us. But then James says this: "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway or immediately he forgets what kind of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein..." Now think about that for a minute. Not just looking to take a glance, not just looking to cast a casual observation, but rather looking deeply to study and to learn and to continue in it. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing." And so there is a blessing that is associated with looking into the God's Word and applying it to our lives. And so as we think about Bible study being worship, we are reciting God's will, we are respecting and honoring God's Word, and third, we want to retain God and His thoughts within our hearts. And as we seek to do that, this gives us certain things. First of all, it puts truth in our inward parts, in our mind, in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can live that truth out. And that's what God wants. He desires truth in the inner man. In Psalm 51 and verse 6, we read, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." When we have that truth contained within our minds and within our hearts, within our lives, it gives us the ability to deal with temptation and sin that comes our way, so that we are prepared to rebut it, just like Jesus was prepared when Satan came to him and he tempted Jesus in the wilderness there in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus said each time as Satan tempted him, "It is written, it is written, it is written." You see, Jesus knew the Word of God, and he knew how to reply to Satan and his temptations. And so it gives us the ability to deal with sin. Studying the Word of God, retaining And retaining God's thoughts within our hearts and minds gives us the ability to know good from evil. You know, sometimes some people have a hard time discerning, well, what's good and what's evil and what should I do and what shouldn't I do? And there can be some pretty sticky examples, you know. In fact, I took an ethics class one time in college, and you know, those ethics classes are notorious for bringing up, you know, the hard questions, the difficult things, and people get confused about those kinds of things, and many of them get confused about it because they don't study God's Word. But if we know God's Word, we're going to be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." And listen to this. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so we can discern between what's right and wrong by studying God's Word. The Word of God gives us the ability to choose what is good. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 14 and verse 15. And then in verse 19, Moses puts a choice before the people of God. And he says, you have the opportunity here to choose right from wrong. And the word is near unto you. So choose life that you may live. And in retaining God's thoughts in our hearts, it gives us the ability to discern opportunity to do what is right. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." We need to know to do what is good, and then we need to go out and do it. We need to be able to see those opportunities for what they are and then take advantage of them. And then finally, as we study God's Word, we are retooling our lives in God's image. And God has revealed the standard of His image in the person of Jesus the Christ. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And as we read that and as we study it, we learn from that the Word became flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 14. And so what we have here then is the incarnation of the Word of God in the person of Jesus the Christ. And when we read about Jesus' life, basically what we are doing is reading about how God's Word really does apply to our life and how we can live our life out in obedience to God's Word, because that's what Jesus did. That's the example He gave. And I'm so grateful to God, you know, that He didn't just give us an instruction manual, but that He gave us a living person as an example of how to do what's right. And then we can follow that example in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Now we have not received, or now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And as we study God's Word and learn about Christ, we can understand how to live like Him and to grow into His image every day. You see, we are to walk in the steps of Christ. Jesus said in John 13 and verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, Peter says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should walk in His steps." And so we are to walk in the steps of Christ. And when we let God's Word retool our lives, we then conform our life to God's will. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. "Not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind." Listen to Psalm chapter 19 and verses 7 and 8, and the lesson will be yours. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now that's what we get when we study God's Word. And I think that you can see that when we approach the Word of God with a worshipful attitude, and when we approach studying God's Word as worshiping God, that we will be listening to God's Word. We will be reciting God's Word. We will be respecting and honoring God. We will be retaining God's thoughts within our hearts and within our lives, and we will be retooling our lives in God's image. So studying the Word is so important, and it's so helpful to us, because without the Word of God, we are lost. The Bible says that we simply cannot do it on our own. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. I'm so thankful that God has given us His Word so that we can have direction for our lives and for our steps. Do you need to submit to the Word of God this evening? To become a child of God, hear His Word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins, and walk in love after Christ each and every day, following His Word, studying the Bible, so that we can know how to live our lives. If you're a Christian, but you've left aside the Word of God and you've let sin come back into your life, then there's an opportunity tonight for you to repent and to come back to God and to make things right with God. If you would like to do that this evening, or if you'd like to become a child of God this evening, we stand ready to receive you. Won't you come now while we sing the song of invitation?